Job chapter number 31. In Job chapter 31, look at verse number 1 with me real quick. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? What inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways, and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. These days, more and more, I've had to be very careful with my steps. And again, I appreciate the prayers for Napier and all of our family. Went down to Kentucky this week for the funeral services for his mom, and we stayed in a hotel on Tuesday night for the service on Wednesday, and we went down the side steps when we went to the car, and got to the top of the steps, and I looked down, and that was weird. I held on to the rail a little bit harder than I normally do, because there was like 20 steps in one flight, and it was weird. I had to be very careful there. I told you last week, my daughter Hope walked me into a giant pole at the store. We stopped at the store, and I knew there was the curb there, but how far that curb was down, I misjudged that. Didn't fall, but I say all this to say, not to, it's just funny to me, but I've had to pay more attention to my steps than I normally do. Normally, I don't even think about my steps. I normally would run down that flight of stairs. I use run very loosely there. But I would normally not even consider touching a handrail. I normally don't even think about stepping off the side of the curb onto the parking lot. But these days, I think about it more than I normally do. The Bible talks a lot about our steps. And I want to draw out in verse number 4, it says, "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?" The Lord sees all of our ways, and the Bible says there he counts all of our steps. A few years ago, I got one of those pedometers. Now it just does it on your phone pretty good, right? My wife and I would try to get more steps than each other when we first got those things, and that was a challenge. And on Sunday, she would destroy me, and I could never understand why. I always attributed the fact that I was preaching, but I didn't know what she was doing. But then we figured out hers was on her wrist, and she was playing the piano. And no wonder she was destroying me, all right? It was counting those steps. And I was like, "You cheated," all right? But she didn't mean to, but she was, all right? Remember, you try to shoot for, everybody says, try to get 10,000 steps a day. And we would strive to do so. The average person I researched did 7,500 steps a day. But I did a little math. And if you live to be, say, 80 years old, that means you're going to walk in your lifetime on average 216,262,500 steps. And according to the Bible, the Lord counts every one of them. He counts our steps. And I think obviously it's not that just God's being a pedometer, keeping track. What that is implying is this, that he's watching over every step that we take. What a great God we have that will watch over us in every step that we take. I want to consider just a couple of things this morning about our steps. Number one, as I just alluded to, number one, our steps are witnessed. They are watched by God. Turn back to Job chapter number 14 real quick. Job chapter 14, and we're going to read verse number 16. Job chapter 14, and in verse number 16. Our steps are witnessed. God watches them. Job 14:16 says, "For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin?" Our steps are witnessed. Every step we take. On average in your life, it'll be 216 billion plus. But in every one of those, the Bible says again that the Lord numberest our steps. He watches over every step that we take. What a great God that we have. And I look at this, number one, in a positive light. I'm thankful that no matter where I go, in every step that I take, God watches over me. I'm thankful for that. And every child of God should be thankful for that. God watches over every one of us. He numbers our steps. He's there with us. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. And I'm thankful that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I face tomorrow, no matter what my fear may be in my life, no matter what is unbeknownst to me that I am going to face in the weeks and days and years ahead, God will never not be there in my life. I'm thankful that His presence is always going to be there. The Bible says that He sees and watches every step that we take. You know, everything we do for the glory of God, for other people, God takes notice of it. The Bible says if you give a cup of cold water to someone in His name, that He takes note of that. I'm glad that not one step have I taken in my life that God has not been there and known about. That gives me a comfort to what I may face tomorrow. That gives me a peace in what I've gone through already. But the fact is this, that God is always going to be there. I'm thankful for the fact that I've never gone through anything that God wasn't there with me every step of the way. I'm thankful that no matter what I may go through, God will be there every step of the way. Now, in a negative light, if you want to call it that, I've never hidden anything from God either. Every step I've taken, I like to think that I've taken some good positive steps in my life, but I also am no fool. I've taken some wrong steps in my life. And I've not hidden any of those from God. When Alex was a very, very young man, we got him a plaque, which is still sitting in his room, and I'm thankful that he keeps it up. It says on that plaque, it has his name on it, and it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God sees and knows everything that goes on in our life. Every time that I have strayed, God saw those steps. Every time that I have sinned, God saw those steps. Every time that I have struggled, God saw those steps. So today, I just want to encourage you in the fact that no matter what steps you take in life, sometimes there's some scary steps we have to take. Sometimes, like I have this week, I struggle judging where this step's going to take me. Sometimes we go through that in life. Sometimes we face things that we didn't see coming, and we have to walk through and take some steps that we don't want to take. But praise God, He's always with us in every step. If you strayed today, and we do stray at times, we've not hidden anything from God, and I have good news for you. God loves you. And even though sometimes we take the wrong steps, even though sometimes in our life there's times we're taking the right steps, we're walking where we should be, and there's sometimes, and we all can testify to this, we've walked away and we've walked the other path. The Bible says there's a straight and a narrow way that leads to life, but there's a very broad way that leads to destruction. And sometimes we've taken wrong steps, and I'm thankful that God didn't forget us when we did. I'm thankful that God didn't throw us away when we took wrong steps. I'm glad God didn't give up on us. He knew our steps, and He called us back where we should be. Every step we take is witnessed. I have another thought about our steps. Turn over to Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter number 37, a few pages to the right. Psalm 37 and verse number 23. Psalm 37 and verse number 23. Not only are our steps witnessed, but God has steps for us that are in His will. God has steps for us that are willed for us. Psalm 37 and verse number 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." Can I tell you something? God has a plan and steps that are perfect in His will for our lives. He has steps that are ordered for us. He has steps that will lead us and guide us to His perfect will. Now here's the issue. I think all of us understand that God has a will for our life, and His will is perfect. His will is the best. But our flesh gets in the way. Our flesh doesn't like His plan. And Brother Susie, if you can just give this verse for me, Jeremiah 10, 23. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. Our ways are not His ways. We struggle sometime. The verse says in Jeremiah 10, 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, our flesh wants to pull away from God's will. Our flesh wants to fight against God's will. But God's will is perfect. God's will is wonderful. And when we choose to walk in the steps that God has willed for our life, that, my friends, is a great and a wonderful life. You see, you and I struggle sometimes, and I promise I'm good here. I'm getting better, right? But you and I struggle sometimes in the fact that you and I in our steps, that our flesh gets in the way. What does God want for our lives? Now again, I'm not getting down to the nitty-gritty on where you should live and what job you should have, but that God does have those steps for your life, all right? But what does God want? What is the end of His will? When we step again there in Psalm 37, when the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And that He is the good man. That He is the person. When we decide to follow the steps of God that are ordered in His Word, when we decide to follow His steps, you will delight in His way. I want you to stop. I want that to sink in. Everybody with me this morning? You'll delight in His way. What does the word delight mean? You'll enjoy it. You'll be happy. You'll be satisfied. You'll have peace. It'll be great. You will delight in it. You're all staring at me like you've never delighted in anything. You're all just like, right? Delight, right? No, it's good. Amen? You know, you delight in it. You'll enjoy it. And the Bible says if you allow Him to order your steps, you will delight in His way. When we fight against it and we don't want to follow God's will for our life, you're not going to delight in that way. Now, everybody look at me real quick. There's two types of people in this room right now. There are people that are walking in the path of God, and not that everything's peachy, not that everything's gone just how you want it, not that everything is perfect in your life, but the fact is this, you're happy. You have peace. That even in the hard times, you know God is walking there every step along the way. And our job is only to do right as right presents itself, to make sure that we do the best of our ability to walk in what we know is God's will for our life. And you know what? You're happy. There's also another type of person in the room that you're miserable. You're miserable sitting in here today. You're miserable hearing this message. You're miserable in life. You're never happy. You never have a reason to sing. You're always pushing back. You feel like everybody's against you and no one ever hears you. And you're always the person that you feel like, you know, I'm right and everyone else in the world is wrong and every authority is wrong. And you're constantly seeing like you're butting heads with everybody. I'll tell you why. You're outside the will of God. When you don't walk in the path of God, you become a miserable person. You keep wondering why everyone else is wrong. Why the pastor always preaches on you. Why your parents are always on your back. Why your boss at work is never happy with you. Why everyone else is opening their mouth and singing, but you don't understand what there's to sing about. You're miserable. It's because you've saw and been told the steps that are right, but you said, no. Hey, a little newsflash. God wants you to be happy. I mean, He wants you to be happy. I mean, what does God say? That we would delight in His way. The Lord said, I've come that they might have life, and life what? More abundantly. You know what that means? Yay! I mean, I'm happy. I mean, I stand before you. I have bills to pay. You know, I see. If there's 100 in here, there's 200 to me. It's awesome. Our crowds have doubled in the last few weeks. It's awesome. I mean, it's exciting time. You know, I have ailments. I set up this morning and groaned twice. You know, I just, my body's like, ugh, right? You know, we all get it, but I'm happy. I have peace. I love my family. They love me. I love going to church. I enjoy being around God's people. I love to sing. You know, I just, I'm a happy person. I'm going home today, and I'm putting a giant pork shoulder in the smoker, man. That's dinner tomorrow night, right? I seasoned that thing. It's waiting in the fridge right now. I'm going to sit it out a while, put that thing in. Come on over tomorrow. I will feed you a pulled pork sandwich, right? It's going to be good. You know, you say, why are you talking about pork, right? You know, because I'm just telling you, I'm enjoying these days that God gave me. Because God wants me to. For some reason, some people think God wants people miserable. He wants to refer to, again, the New Testament word that God chose for us to call him, and you know this, is what?
Father.
What father in this room looks at his kids? I mean, Brother Jordan never wakes up in the morning and says, all right, I'm going to make Malachi, Noah, Thaddeus, I are miserable today. I'm going to do everything in my ability to make sure they cry all day. I mean, no father does that. Matter of fact, if one of them does have a need and one of them cries out, Daddy says, what's wrong? Right? Because you want the joy in your children. Me and Brother Jordan are imperfect fathers. We are nowhere near perfection, but God is a perfect father. And if we desire that for our children, how much more does your Father in heaven? Again, you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Amen? He wants you to be satisfied. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. But you have to walk in his ways. And every step that we take needs to be directed by the Lord. But when we think we know more than he does, when we think that we don't have to walk in those ways, when we think his way is foolish, then don't complain when you're miserable and unsatisfied and the only peace you get are when you're with your rebellious crowd. Because they won't ever challenge you to do right. They'll pat you on the back and tell you it's okay. But read the book of Proverbs, that crowd will lead you to hell. That's what the book says. It will lead you to destruction. God's steps are ordered in our life. In Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 12, turn there real quick. Proverbs chapter 14, let's use our Bibles real quick. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, look at these verses with me real quick. Proverbs 14 and in verse number 12 says the same thing. There is a way. Now, is God's word true? Every word, amen, it is absolute perfection. The Bible says again in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. In other words, we all have our own ideas, right? But the end thereof are the ways of what? There you go. Let God be true and every man a liar. We may think that we have a better plan. We may think that we have a better way. We may think, and I don't care who the person is, if they have every initial after their name and have written 50 books, if it's contrary to this book, they're lying. They're wrong. All right? The confidence is not in me. I don't want you to do what I tell you to do. But God's word is true. God's word, follow it with every fiber of your being. Follow God's word. Because every other path leads to death and destruction. A good man will let the Lord direct his steps. In Psalm 119 and verse 133, Psalm 119, we'll just read this verse to you unless you can beat me there. Psalm 119 and in verse number 133 says this. It says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. Let me tell you, you say, well, how do I know what God's steps are? It's all in this book. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How does he order his steps in Psalm 119:133? Through his word. In other words, you and I have the responsibility to know the word of God, and then when we see it in the word of God, to follow those steps. When we follow the steps that are given in this book, there's delight. There's peace. I'm not trying to twist anybody's arm. I'm just telling you the absolute truth today, that if you follow what God's word says, there's joy. There's life. When we step outside this book, it leads to destruction and death. I told our Hope ministry the other day, when we say death, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. That death is not just talking about a physical death. It's not even just talking about a spiritual death and a lake of fire. I'm talking about this. Everybody look at me. It destroys relationships. It brings death to a husband-wife relationship. It will bring death to a father-son relationship. It will bring death to a relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It will bring death to relationship with at the workplace and things like that. Sin always destroys. Sin always leads to death and destruction. And yes, it is including, you know, that second death, which is the lake of fire. Yes, that is including death here on this earth. The wages of sin is death. But the fact is this, getting outside, and you and I, if we step outside the word of God, it will begin to destroy everything that we need, everything that God wants you to have. It will begin to bring death to every one of those relationships. That broad way that many go on leads to destruction. But there are steps that will lead to life. So every step, number one, is witness. Every step God has willed for our life. God has a plan for our life. Number three, every step is watched. And again, we already said that. I'm talking about something different here. Turn over to Psalm chapter 56 real quick. Psalm 56. We're going to read verse 2 through 6 in Psalm chapter 56. When I say it's watched, I want you to see this real close, what we're talking about. In Psalm 56, verse number 2 through 6, says this, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves." Look what it says. "They mark my steps when they wait for my soul." When I say your steps are watched, I mean this. There's a lost world that's watching you. There's a lost world that's watching your steps. I'm thankful for, we have good neighbors on both sides of us. And I wish they'd get in church and things. And to my left at our house, a young man named Tyler lives there. He's a manager at the Goshen Skyline. So if you ever go in, talk to him, tell him your pastor is his neighbor. And he'll laugh. He's a nice young man. To our right is a family. They've grown up. They have kids similar to our kids. And invited several times to come to church. And for whatever reason, haven't come. But both sets of my neighbors, they watch us. They watch us. I saw one at the grocery store yesterday. I ran to a grocery store. They said, and this is what he said, "Have you been okay?" Because they've been watching. Things have been a little bit different. Haven't had the same routines. But they watch. And I'm thankful, and if you'll pray, our neighbor, her name's Sherry, Her dad's been in intensive care for several weeks and months, but when he first went in intensive care, she reached out to us. She said, "Will you please pray for my dad?" And I'm thankful for that. And we've been praying for her dad, and if you'll join us, pray for Sherry's dad. He's very, very sick. But they're watching. The Bible says they mark your steps. People that are not saved, you proclaim Christ, they're going to keep an eye on you. Now, in a positive way, when needs come up and there may be something in their life that, you know, needs prayer or intercession, praise the Lord, they can come to you. But let me give you the other side of that too. I'll use Zach real quick. You don't care if I use you, right, Zach? Nah. Zach's like, what else am I going to say? Yes? You know, because even if he said yes, I'd do it anyways. But Zach, he has people that have known him for a long time. They've watched him. There are lost people, lost family members that know Zach. There have been neighbors that he has had in his life that have watched him grow up from being this tiny little thing in intensive care and a little incubator all the way up to he now towers over me. If he were to walk away from God, if he were to decide, I'm done with church, if he were to decide, I don't think God is what he says he is, not only is he leading his own life to destruction, y'all with me? But all those people that are watching him, that knew he grew up in church, that knew all these things, I'm being as serious as I can right here. He's leading to the damnation of their souls. Because if Zach can grow up in church and decide, no, that's a shame and that would be awful. But there are people watching him that knew he grew up in church.
Right.
And I mean this with all my heart. Someday he would give an account to God for that.
Right.
Because he had an opportunity. He's a watchman. And their blood will be on his hands. Truth.
Right.
Because when you walk away, your decision doesn't just affect you.
Right.
Everybody likes to think that, but it just isn't true. Well, it's my life. It's only affecting me. False. It's not. It's affecting the people around you. All those who have invested in your life, all those who are your peers, and all those who people who are lost, who are watching, you read the Bible, they're marking your steps. And when you decide to walk away from the things of God, and you decide that you've just decided, I'm going to throw it all away, it's not just affecting you. If they die and go to hell one day, they're going to cry out, how did you walk away? If it's real, then serve him. And my friends, it's real. But they watch. When we as a believer go through a hard time and we just throw up our hands and quit, and people do that. I heard recently of this is a tragedy, and I hate it, and it's wickedness, of a pastor of a church, literally 1,500 miles away, that fell into sin. That is a tragedy. But his sin just didn't affect him, because the conversation wasn't this about this pastor. The conversation was about a man and his wife who were in that church who said, well, if that's what it is, I'm done. Now, look at me. God forbid any pastor in your life ever falls into sin. God forbid. But if it ever happens, you don't serve a man, you serve a God. And God doesn't fail you. You keep on serving God. You keep serving a precious, wonderful Lord. But people are watching. Our steps, they are witnessed. Our steps are willed. Our steps are watched. I'm just going to give you one quick point here. Look over in 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, wrap this up. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm thankful that I can look at you as the child of God today and tell you this, that your steps have been walked before. And look what I mean by that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Look what the Word of God says. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Aren't you thankful that God didn't leave us here to figure it all out? God has given us his word and his example that we might follow in his steps. What a blessing. So what's that mean? God gave us a life of holiness. Follow those steps. God gave us a life, an example of investing in other people and sacrificing and giving. Follow in his steps. God gave us an example of how to handle enemies. Follow his steps. God gave us a wonderful example how to suffer, how to be rejected, how to go through grief. Follow his steps. I'm thankful there is no temptation, amen, have we ever faced that, number one, that God has not made us a way of escape, but listen, he also understands those temptations. And he gave us and left us an example how to overcome everything we'll face. I'm thankful today that no matter what life brings to us, the Lord understands and not only has compassion, but he's given us an example to follow. Follow his steps. Those steps have been walked before. But I want to give you one last thought. Turn here and we're all done. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. You'll notice in all these things that we read today, it talks about our steps. Our steps will follow his steps. What you'll find interesting when you study is that the word step, singular, is only used twice. And here's the example. 1 Samuel chapter number 20, verse number 3. Look what it says with me in 1 Samuel 20, verse number 3. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, look what David said, there is but a step between me and death. While our steps are witnessed and our steps are willed, our steps are watched, and our steps, they've been walked before. But our steps will end one day. And there will be one last step that we take. There is but a step, David said, between me and death. I don't know how many years God has planned for me. I don't know how many years God has planned for you. But with every one of us in this auditorium and anyone who will ever hear this message, we are all but a step between life and death. We're not guaranteed another day. I'm not trying to be depressing. I'm not trying to be discouraging. Matter of fact, the older that I live, the more I long for that heavenly home one day. But the fact is this, God has us here and he has a plan for us. He has steps for us to take. But there is coming a day. Everybody look at me. There's coming a day when I will leave this world and enter into eternity. It is but a step. You know, steps don't take very long, do they? I just took three and you weren't even watching. Steps are quick. Steps happen in a moment. And David said there is but a step between life and death. You can be sitting in this auditorium right now and be yet but a step between life and death. I'm not trying to in any way put any darkness in people's lives, but I'm just telling you facts that there have been people who said, right where Brother Eduardo is on Sunday morning, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they had taken a step from life to death. I only say it because it is appointed unto men to take this step once to die. We all have this appointment. And someday, you will take that step. And I ask you this question. Do you know where that last step is going to take you? I'm looking at you today, not on any merits that I have done and not in any faith in anything that I've ever accomplished, but I'm telling you in complete confidence today that I know one day these eyes right here will close in death and I will take a step, but I'm telling you, I know where that step is taking me. That step is taking me to an eternal presence with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take a step and be in glory. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One day I'm going to take a step, and what a wonderful step it's going to be. I remember my grandpa gave me, Grandpa Burke had, he had like 50 of them. I don't know where he got them, but they were little records. Remember those? They're coming back now, actually. All right, little records, all right? And it, all it was a 15-minute recording of the Apollo space mission, right? And I thought that was the coolest thing ever, man. We played that, and we sat there in the living room and put that little needle on that thing, and it started spinning. And that statement, right? This is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. I mean, I was just a kid. I was just like, woo, yeah, right? America. You know, I was just, yeah, right? It's awesome, right? Someday, I'm going to take a step. And oh, what a step it's going to be. I will close my eyes and open them, having taken a step in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our friends and family together, praise God, what a day that will be. Are you ready for that step? If you don't know where that step's going to take you, would you please, please today come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you know that that one step between life and death, you know where it's going to take you.